This is the Puppy Training Podcast, episode number 58, Sit and Down Stay. This podcast is designed to help you on your journey of becoming best friends through love and learning as you train your own dog from home. And I'm here to help you every step of the way. This is the Puppy Training Podcast, and I'm your host, Amy Jensen. Hey, everybody. How are you today? Thanks for listening in on our podcast. I cannot believe we are to September. Where has time gone, right? I know for some of us, it's gone really slowly because of COVID. For others, it's gone really quickly, and I cannot believe we're to fall. Well, we're getting there. We're not quite to fall, but it feels like fall. At least it's cooled off a little bit here in Utah, and this is my favorite time of year. So this weekend, we had some fun. I decided to get some agility equipment, just some basic equipment to introduce my dogs to. So I took them out in the backyard, and we set up a tunnel and some weave poles and a few jumps. I had to keep the jumps low because they're young, except for Bruno. He's old, or older, I should say. But anyway, they all loved it. They had a blast. Yeti, our four-month-old golden doodle that's just here for some training, he loved the tunnel. He had a great time in that. Boots loved the jumps. He sailed over them. Yeti's a big puppy, so it was pretty hilarious watching him try to navigate those weave poles. And he's too young to jump, so we just put the bars on the ground for him and let him run over. And Boots, we kept the jumps lower because he's still just a little bit over a year, but he still loved it. And Bruno, he's my older dog. He's about 8, and we put the jumps really low for him, about an inch or two off the ground, and he really had a good time. So dogs are fun, you guys. Find something that they enjoy, find something that they love to do, and introduce them to it. Go have a good time with them. It was also a great way to mix up training, and I was able to practice some behaviors that I've been working on with my puppies or my dogs because they're motivated to run the course, right? So, you know, Boots wanted to do the jumps, and he wanted to run through the tunnel. So before I'd say go, then I would ask him for a down stay, or we'd practice a sit stay, or we practiced a wait. So that's really what I want to talk about today. Stay is how to get your dog to do a sit stay or a down stay. But also, you know, challenge you guys who are maybe a little bit further in the puppy training process to start using these life rewards of, you know, to motivate your dog to do things. So if your dog wants something and you understand what they're wanting and what motivates them to work, then use that as a reward for good behavior. And you can really build out a solid sit stay or down stay because they're motivated to do it. So today, stay work. What is a stay? I get asked a lot, how is it different from a wait? So I'll explain the difference. Why do I use a stay and how do I train it? So that's what we're going to talk about. Now, what is it? What is a stay? Basically, that is asking our dog to be a statue. That's how I like to explain it. Is if I ask my dog for a sit stay, they are to remain in a sitting position until released. Or if I ask my dog for a down stay, I'm expecting them to remain in a down stay until released. So how is this different from wait? Now, wait is a behavior that is more of like a boundary training behavior where I draw a line and I ask my dog to wait, and then they just know not to cross that boundary. So they can move around behind the boundary line. That's fine. They could play in that room if they wanted. They can move around that room if they'd like. They just can't cross the boundary line. Whereas a stay is more like be like a statue. So hopefully that clarifies that a little bit. Stay is to remain in a sit position or a down position, depending on which one you asked your dog to do until they are released. And I use a release cue of okay, or my service dogs, they use release. So really you can pick any word, just be consistent with the word you choose and use it every time you release your dog. Now, stay is so useful throughout the day. Think of all of the things your puppy can't be doing while in a stay. So as we're training our dogs and we want them to be well-mannered in the house, we want them to be calm, we want them to have good manners, stays are so valuable and I use them throughout my day. So what a good way to create calm around your home. Here are some examples of the ways I use it around my house. So counter surfing. How many of you have a dog who is at the age where they're tall enough and maybe curious enough to put their paws up on a table or a counter and try to see if they can get a great reward? Why not use a sit stay or a down stay as you head into the kitchen so that they can't jump up on your counters and search around for food? Let's see, preventing jumping on sofas, couches, If we're sitting on the couch and my dog is approaching and I'm anticipating that, you know, in the past, they usually jump up on me or they jump up on the sofa and I don't want them to, as I'm sitting there on the sofa and I see them coming over to me, I could ask them for a sit stay or a down stay, and that would prevent them from jumping up on the couch. How about out on a walk? If we're out on a walk with our puppy and they see a person or another dog or a car, it really could be a wide variety of things. If we don't want our dog to lunge or pull towards that person, or maybe I'm on a walk and I have a friend that's approaching me and wants to talk with me, that would be a really great opportunity to put my puppy in a sit stay or a down stay so that they don't jump up on my friend who's approaching, but they are in a nice calm position while I can have a conversation. Now, this sounds great and it sounds simple. And I know some of you are listening and saying, well, Amy, that sounds great, but that's really hard to achieve. My puppy will never get there. We're going to work on it in just a minute. But these are the ideals. This would be the end all goal of what we want this to eventually look like. And it's important, I think, to go there. I want you to have a picture of what you want, you know, it to look like when you and your dog walk down the street and a person walks up to you. Or what does it look like when you're sitting on the sofa watching television and your dog approaches? Like, what do we want our dogs to do? And it's really important to go there as a trainer or as a handler, a dog owner, whatever you want to call yourself. Really, you're all trainers. Welcome to my world. But it's important to understand that that's what we need to focus on, is what do I want my dog to do? And then we'll take little puppy steps to get them there. And we can work on this behavior over time and increase it to the point where, yeah, absolutely, you guys, you can be out on the sidewalk with your dog on leash and they'll do a nice down stay while somebody approaches. So how about when you're at home and guests come to your door? Right? The doorbell rings, there's a knock on the door, we go answer it, a person walks in. Wouldn't that be nice if our dog was in a down stay instead of jumping all over them? I get this one a lot with clients that they'll say, it's first thing in the morning, my kids are coming down the stairs and my puppy goes crazy and runs over to meet them and is jumping all over my kids and, you know, mouthing them and barking at them and just really excited to see them. Instead, what if we put our dog in a down stay or a sit stay and then they approached the puppy from that position and reward them for being calm with that greeting? And then they can get down on their level and give them, you know, let the puppy come into them and scratch their back or their ears or whatever. So that's a great one. How about at the end of the day when we come home from work? Maybe our partner's coming home from work and they walk through the door and the dog likes to rush up to them and jump all over them. Why not use a sit stay or a down stay to create a better routine, or one that you prefer that keeps calm in your house? How about when kids come home from school? So that would be a similar situation when the puppy's so excited because the kids are coming home. Some of us are not at school right now. My kids are. My kids are back at school with masks on, and so they do come home and the puppies get excited. So we practice the sit stay or the down stay while the child walks up to the puppy, and then we can release them and they can greet that way. But at least that eliminates the excitable jumping when they first say hello. So other small tasks, like maybe I need to walk out and get the mail, or I need to open the door to bring in some packages, and I just want my dogs to be in a nice calm position as I open the door and retrieve those things so that they're not trying to bolt out the door or any of that kind of behavior. Other ones would be like unloading the dishwasher, right? I don't like when my dogs come up to the dishwasher and try to lick the dishes. So I ask them for a sit stay or a down stay instead. And then I unload the dishes and I close it up, release them, feed them a treat for being so awesome, and off we go. Other times, like when I make my bed, picking up the pillows off the floor, I don't want my dog jumping on the pillows or trying to bite them or mouth them. And then it turns into this game of no, drop it, leave it, that kind of thing. You can prevent all that by using a sit stay or a down stay. I have my dogs practice these positions when I'm brushing my teeth or doing my makeup or, you know, blow drying my hair. Outside in the yard, a lot of puppies love to put everything in their mouth. Sound familiar? How many of you are like, oh my goodness, yes, my puppy is putting grass and twigs and bark and branches and all sorts of things in their mouth. You know, we could ask for a down stay while we pull weeds or while we, or whatever it is we're doing out in our yard, trimming our flowers or whatever. Picking up toys in the house. If our kids are leaving toys around and I need to quickly pick them up before my puppy rushes over and grabs them, I could ask for a sit stay or a down stay. So again, I know these are all ideals, and with an 8-week-old puppy, absolutely not. I wouldn't expect this to work, but you can get there. And you can get there in actually, I would say, faster time than you think if you worked on it every day. Week to week, and we start to really proof this behavior, you'll be able to have a dog that will do a down stay or a sit stay while you do simple tasks around your house. Okay, so let's get into it. How do we train this? How do we get a nice sit stay or a down stay? All right, so let's start with sit stay. Now, depending on the flooring that you have in your house, if you have slippery flooring like tile or a wood floor, and you notice that when you ask your dog or your puppy to sit and they kind of just slide right into a down, it's a little bit harder for these young puppies to hold that sit position on a slippery surface. So I do start my puppies on a carpeted surface or a rug so that it's easier for them to hold that position until they get a little stronger. And a sit stay is something that I could expect my puppy or dog to do for a few minutes. If I'm going to do something longer than that, I'll generally ask for a down stay. But for, you know, like a trip out to grab the mail or to get the package inside the house or to brush my teeth, I mean, all of those would be things that a sit stay would be fine for. And when we start a stay, it's basically just teaching your puppy to pause. We just want them to hold still, which is really hard for a puppy, by the way. We think, oh, this will be simple. This is no problem. But when we start training it, honestly, we're starting with just a 1 second expectation. And for some puppies, I've started with like a half a second expectation. So we are going to build that up to, you know, a good benchmark, I feel like, is a 20 second stay where I'm standing right next to my puppy, not moving. I'll ask my puppy to sit. I'll say stay. And then I just pause and then okay, and I release them. So a 1 second pause, okay, and I try to release them at the beginning before they break. So if they can just pause for even a microsecond, okay, now we can release them. Now when I say okay, I move away, I turn my body, I basically move the treat away as well, so the puppy has to follow my hand to get that treat, which helps them learn that okay means you can now move. So again, recapping, we ask them to sit. We ask them to stay, then we'd mark yes and reward for the sit. So I pay them for that sitting position. I like to pay for position. Once you say stay, I pause for just 1 second and then I say, okay. And I move away from my puppy so that they can follow my hand to get that treat. Now, I do it several different ways. Some of my dogs learn an automatic stay, and those would be the service dogs that I train. And the family dogs that I train, I usually just say stay and I teach them that word. But if you want it to be automatic, it's actually quite nice. So you just don't say stay. You basically ask your dog to do a sit and then you pause, then you say, okay, and they can move. And they learn that sit means sit down and don't move until released. So there's another option for you if you want it to be automatic. Again, I think it's really nice that you just have to say sit and they stay sitting, or if you say down and they stay in a down until you release them. But you're absolutely also welcome to add in the cue stay, and a sit just means sit down and they can pop right back up. A down means, you know, lie down and they can pop right back up if you want to just add in that stay cue. So really that's up to you. You get to decide. That's the beauty of dog training, is you get to decide how you want it to work at your house and for you and your dog. So let's practice. You ready? I know it's a podcast. I know you're just listening and some of you are driving a car and you're like, Amy, I don't have my dog with me, but that's okay. I wanted to go through this on a podcast so that if you want to get home and you want to play this, I'm giving you the instructions and you can replay it several times just to practice this sit stay. So go ahead and ask your puppy to sit, mark yes, and pay them for the sit. Again, I like to pay for position. Then you can say stay, or just don't say it if you want it to be automatic, and pause for 1 second, okay, and move your puppy. So you're ready? Let's practice again. Ask your dog to sit, mark yes, pay for the sit, pause for 1 second, okay, and your puppy can move. And as you're saying okay and you're moving away, your puppy comes and collects that treat. Good job, you guys. See? Not too bad, right? Now, that's 1 second, which is a long time for your puppy, so congratulate them on a job well done. And I like them to do that 5 out of 5 times successfully. So I don't push to 2 seconds until my puppy can do 5 1-second stays. Make sense? Now, once they get that 5 out of 5, then okay, let's try for 2 seconds. So then we ask our puppy to sit. I mark yes and pay them for the sit. Then I say stay, or I just pause. I count to 2. Then I say okay and reward them when they get to me. And that's how you build a sit stay. Now, I'm standing right next to my puppy. I know you can't see me because this is a podcast, but I'm standing right next to my puppy. I'm not moving either. So I'm mirroring for them really what I want them to do. And that helps them be successful. Once my puppy has the concept down, and how I judge that is if my puppy can do a 20-second sit stay where they're not breaking, they'll sit there calmly, patiently waiting for 20 seconds to hear that release word. Then I like to add in what we call the 4 D's, which proof the behavior, meaning we start to add distance, we start to add duration, so the time or the length of time we ask our puppy to stay. We add distractions. I might bounce balls, I might drop treats on the floor, I might run around the room, I might do jumping jacks. And then that difficulty level is when I'm putting all of those together. So I'm moving away from my puppy, I'm adding time, I'm throwing in some distractions, and that's really that difficulty level. So that is the next level where we take the basic behavior that we've taught our puppy of a sit stay, and now we are progressing it and really proofing the behavior so that no matter what's going on, no matter where you are, no matter noises, sounds, smells, whatever distractions and that difficulty level, whatever's happening around your dog, they will stay in position. Now, a down stay is very similar to the sit stay. You just say down instead of sit, and we expect our puppy to lie down instead of sit. And again, you can treat it the same way with either making the stay automatic or you can say the word stay. And a down position is nice because your dog can hold it for much longer. We're talking hours eventually. So it's a much more relaxed position. And again, you know, mentioning those slippery surfaces, if you have those slippery surfaces in your house, this is probably a good place to start because they'll want to just slide right into the down anyway. Now, before you can do a down stay, obviously we need to make sure your puppy knows how to do a down first. And I would have them be pretty good at the down. So I want them to the point where you can say down and they know that that means to, you know, put their belly on the floor. So if you need to go there first, figure out how to teach your puppy a down. I say figure it out, but we're happy to help you guys. We have an online puppy school and I'll show you exactly how to do it. You can go to baxterandbella.com for information, but get your puppy to know the down really well first. Then we can progress to the down stay. And it's exactly like we did for the sit. So you'll start with a 1 second down stay. You'll get 5 out of 5 for those. And then you'll push to 2 seconds. Now, it's not going to, I know some of you are probably thinking, well, gosh, I'm only adding 1 second each time. This is going to take me forever to get my puppy to any sort of progress level that I'm happy with. Not true. We start with seconds because it's hard for these puppies to be patient. They don't have patience. We have to teach them patience. We have to teach them how to wait for things. So if I say down, we work 1 second at a time. We add, you know, we go to 2 seconds. 2 seconds turns into 3. The good news is 3 can turn into 5. 5 can usually turn into 10. 10 turns into 20. 20 turns into 60. Now we're up to minutes, right? So 1 minute turns into 2 minutes and 2 minutes turns into 5 minutes and 5 turns into 10 and you get the idea. So we don't have to go 1 second at a time continually until we get up to hours. That really would take a long time. But definitely start with seconds. To us, it seems so simple, right? A 1 second stay, that's not a problem. To a puppy, it's a really long time. All right, so here's a few tips, you guys, as we close this out. If your dog breaks, you lure them back into position, but don't feed them the treat until they do some duration. It's really important that you get that concept right, because if you need to, yes, you can use that food to lure them back into the down position, but don't feed it to them. Wait or pause for, you know, whatever duration you're at, 5 seconds, 10 seconds. Do make it easier because you are recognizing that whatever you're pushing them to is hard because they're breaking. That's how you know that, oh, I'm pushing them kind of hard. Then I would maybe take a few seconds off the expected time and I would say, okay, and then release them. And that's when they get that treat. So again, you can help lure them back into position using food, but don't feed them until they've given you some duration. Okay, and then they can have it. Again, this all ties back into setting your dog up for success, right? So if I'm pushing my dog and every time we try this stay, they keep breaking, I'm getting 0 out of 5 successes, I am picking too long of a time for my puppy. They just can't handle it. And you'll start to see their frustration level spike. They might bark at you. They might whimper or whine. They might start pawing at you. They might start rolling around on the floor, trying to bite your ankles. Or you can tell when you've pushed them a little bit past their point of focus. So set them up for success. And that's why we go back to that 1 second. That's where we start. 1 second, 5 times. Okay. Other things that help: mix up the times you ask them to stay. So if I'm working on a 10-second stay and every single time my puppy knows it's going to be 10 seconds, that gets kind of boring to them. They figure out the game pretty quickly and they are bored with it. So instead, I know, okay, my benchmark is 10 and I'm trying to get 10-second stays, 5 out of 5 successes, but I might ask for, let's say, a 10-second stay, and then maybe I ask for a 2-second stay and I release them. And then I go back and ask them for a 10-second stay, and then I ask them for a 5-second stay or a 1-second stay, or I mix it up so that it's not just 10, 10, 10, 10. Okay. That will help them stay in the game longer. And that goes into being unpredictable. Really, with puppy training, you guys, the more unpredictable you can be, the longer they'll stay engaged with you, the longer they'll want to play, the longer they'll want to train. And they'll enjoy being around you and doing those training sessions much more. So be unpredictable, set them up for success, and really just help them be confident in what you're teaching them. All right. I hope that helps you guys. Go out and teach your dogs a sit, stay, or down stay this week. There's some homework for you. Have a wonderful rest of your week, and I'll talk to you next week. If you have a question about anything you heard on this podcast or any other puppy training question, visit my site, BaxterandBella.com, to contact me.